All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Beis. A lot to do today. 52. We are picking up Nun Aleph on the base 51b. And we are picking up at Rabbi Akiva Omer. Four lines up from the bottom. So, Shabbos, remember, again, we are in the midst of a dramatic and raging machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael about at what point in time does Avodah Zarah become prohibited. Right? So again, remember, we're making a distinction between Avodah Zarah owned by a Jew versus Avodah Zarah owned by an Akum. So Rabbi Yishmael, we saw Rabbi Yishmael's Shita yesterday, that Rabbi Yishmael said that the Avodah Kochavim of an Obed Kochavim is only Aser once he worships it. But the Avodah Zarah of the Yisrael is Asra Miyad, is Asra immediately, even before he actively worships it. So the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Akiva says, just the opposite. Avodas Kochavim Shal Obed Kochavim, Asura Miyad. Rabbi Akiva says that the Avodah Zarah of an Akum is Asr immediately, Vishal Yisrael Ad Shi Yis Abed. But a Yisrael's Avodah Zarah is only Asr ultimately again if he worships it. Or once he worships it. So remember again, we said before that the pasuk we quoted ultimately again is speaking about utensils used for the worship of Avodah Zarah. Hamakamos ksiv, but one second, the pasuk says makamos, speaking about places. Im eino inyan makamos, the lo mystery. But again, remember, spaces, meaning geographic spaces, can't become aser. Right? Because the pasuk quotes about their gods on the mountains, telling us that the gods could be on the mountains, but the mountains can't become gods. We'll say top of nun beis amud aleph. Literally, mamish, beginning of the daf. Teneu inyan mekelim. Ultimately, again, apply the pasuk to utensils. Mikan amru. So we'll say from here we learn. Avodas kochavim shel obid kochavim. Eina asura ella ad shete aved. So we'll say from here we see that the avodas kochavim of an obid kochavim ultimately again is not asur until it is worshipped. And we'll say, just by the way, you should understand that this machlokus actually could have dramatic halachic implications. Let's say again it happens to be I'd like to get into the cross business, right? Mamish, I heard it's very lucrative, right? A lot of followers. I'd like to go ahead and get into the cross. Could a good Jewish boy go ahead and open up a cross business? So again, just so you understand, well, first don't do it, and that's, I want to go on record as saying find another profession. But at the end of the day, it's an interesting shayla. And what does it depend on? What it ultimately depends on is at what point in time is the cross considered to be Avodah Zarah? Is it Avodah Zarah ultimately again from the time that it's made? Just again, it's obviously a religious object made for the purpose, leaving aside whether or not Christianity is Avodah Zarah, leaving that's a side question. Rabbi says, so can I do that Buddha or whatever it is? Can I mass produce these items? Because again, they're not worshipped yet, but they will be worshipped. Rabbi says, this is the machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael. At the end of the day, when does the Avodah Zarah itself become Aser? Is it at the time that it's made? Or ultimately, again, is it only after it is worshipped? That's the fundamental dispute. So it says, Rabbi Kiva holds that the Avodah Zarah of an Akum is only Aser after it's worshipped. Vishal Yisrael Miyad. But the Avodah Zarah of a Jew is Asr immediately, which is fascinating. Then Rabbi Akiva's model, the Avodah Zarah of a Jew is treated more chamer than the Avodah Zarah of an Akum, right? The Avodah Zarah of a Jew is Asr immediately upon it, once it's fashioned, even before it's worshipped. The Avodah Zarah of an Akum will only be Asr after it's worshipped. Vahabi Kelim Ukimna. Okay, but one second. We just said before that the pasuk is speaking about utensils. So the Gemara says, "Amar Kra, Asher Atem Yershim Osam Es Eloheim, Makish Eloheim Lekelim." The pasuk goes ahead and equates their gods to utensils. Makilim Ad Shiyavdu. We'll say just like utensils used in the service of Avodah Zarah are only usher once they are actively used. Af Eloheim Nami Ad Shiyavdu. Ultimately, again, their gods, speaking by the Akum, also only become Aser after they worship them. So we'll say this is Shitas Rabbi Akiva, that the Avodas Kochavim, the idolatry of an Akum, is only Aser once he worships it, but the Avodah Zarah of a Jew is Aser immediately. But Rabbi Akiva doesn't make this Hakish, will say to you, S.S., Hifsika Ingen. So Rabbi say the word S ultimately again makes a distinction between their gods and ultimately the utensils. Rabbi Yishmael. So we'll say, watch this. So now we're gonna ping, this is actually very exciting. We're gonna ping pong a little bit back and forth between the Shilos of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Ashkichon avodos kochavim shel oved kochavim dein asura ad shetei oved. So in Rabbi Shmuel's model, we see an example. We see that the avodah zarah of an akum is only asur once it's worshipped. The yisrael dasura miyad minale. Where does Rabbi Shmuel know that the avodah zarah of a Jew is asur immediately? Svarahu. See, he says it's a svara. We'll say, what's the svara? Mida ovid kochavim ad shete aved. The yisrael asura miyad. So the Gemara says the fact that a ovid kochavim is only going to be asur once he worships it. The Yisrael Avodah Zarah will be Asur Miyad. Ima, the Yisrael Klal Klal Lo. Why don't you say instead that maybe the Avodah Zarah of the Yisrael never becomes Asur at all? So the Gemara said that doesn't make sense. Hashtag Gniza Baya, it's Suri Lo Misra. It will say if the Avodah Zarah itself, remember, what do you do with the Avodah Zarah of a Jew? What do you have Avodah Zarah of a Jew? It requires Gniza. We'll say Gniza means it has to be hidden away. In other words, we'll say this is very important. As opposed to the Avodah Zarah of an Akum, where what can you do with that Avodah Zarah? What can you do with it? You can be mevatel it, right? Remember again, an Akum could be mevatel his Avodah Zarah. He could negate the idolatrous identity of his deity. A Yisrael cannot negate his Avodah Zarah. You cannot negate his Avodah Zarah. Therefore, the only thing you could do, you could destroy it, or you could do Gniza. You could go ahead and simply hide it away. So the Gemara says, Ve'ima ki de'ovid kochavim. Well, maybe again, it's shefal the same halacha as the ovid kochavim. Amar kra, ve'es chatoschem asher asisem es ha'egel. Well, so listen to this. Where do we bring a raya from? We bring a raya from the golden calf, the egel. So just like, what does the pasuk say? The sin that you committed in that you made the egel. What do you see from here? Mishas asiya kimlei bechet. Rebbe say, what do you see from here? You see from here that for a Jew, from the time that he fashions the Avodah Zarah, even though he has not yet worshipped it, already it is Aser. Already it is Aser. Ema hanimili lemekim gavra b'cheit. So maybe that's only true to say that a person has violated the Avera once he goes ahead and he has made the Avodah Zarah. But isure lo mitzra, that maybe the Avodah Zarah itself doesn't become Aser until it's actively worshipped. Amrkra, Arur ha'ish asher ya'aseh pesel u'masecha. Cursed is the person who makes a pesel and a masecha. What do you see from there? Mishas asiya kimlei ba'arur. You will see already from the time that you've made the object, already again a person is in a state of arur. Eima hanimil lemekim gabra ba'arur. So we'll say maybe that's only true to go ahead and establish the person as being arur, as being cursed. Isure lo misura. We'll say what the Gemara is suggesting over here is as follows. Maybe there's a distinction between personal violation. In other words, I will say, maybe there's a distinction over here between the Chefza and the Gavra, right? Maybe again, as soon as a Jew goes out and makes Avodah Zarah, so there's an Isra on the Gavra, meaning he did something wrong. But the Chefza, the idol itself, might not yet be prohibited. To which the Gemara says, Toivas Hashem Ksiv. Ultimately, again, it says it is an abomination for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Rebosa indicates that immediately after the object is already made, it is already an abomination. So the Gemara Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva will say, Davar HaMevi Lidei Toeva, that ultimately, again, such an object is called a Davar HaMevi Lidei Toeva. Rebosa, by the way, I realize I reversed the Shitos before. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that the Avodah Zarah of an Ovid Kochavim becomes Aser immediately. The Avodah Zarah of a Jew only becomes Aser once he worships it. Rabbi Shmuel holds the Avodah Zarah of a Jew becomes Aser immediately, and the Avodah Zarah of an Akum only becomes Aser once he worships it. I saw some puzzled looks on your faces, and I'm sure it was because I reversed the Shitos. So I just wanna clarify that. All right. Good morning, everyone. Good. Okay, good. Okay, so let's go back to Rabbi Kiva. So what's Rabbi Kiva? Avodas kochav. I will say, klal gadol in life is it's as exciting as you decide it's going to be. The excitement level of anything in life is never dependent on the actual experience. It is dependent on how you are mesiaches to the experience. Daf nun beis and avodah zarah could be the next 42 minutes. No, we don't have 42 minutes. 32 minutes. Could be the most exciting 32 minutes of your life. It could be. They could be if you choose them to be. Samir Tzashem, who bacharta bachayim, will choose to make it exciting. Rabbi Akiva, avodas kocham sho'ovi kocham dasura mina, miyad minale. So we'll say, Rabbi Akiva, where does he know that the avodah zarah of an akum? We'll say, first wide line, nun beis amad aleph. Where does Rabbi Akiva know that the Avodah Zarah of an Akum is Aser immediately, even without being worshipped? Where does he know that from? So the Gemara says, Amr Ula, Amr Kra, Pesile Elohim Tisrafun Ba'ish. because it won't say the pasuk says. Now, literal translation is the idols of their gods you shall burn in the fire. But Rabbi Kiva darshins mishepaslu naase eloka. It will say ultimately again mishepaslu. Ultimately means what? From the moment that they carve it out, like psalacha, right? From the moment that they carve, from the moment that they make it, it's usher. So the moment that the idol is made, even before it's worshipped, it's immediately usher. V'idach, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with that? V'idach, ha'humi b'ayle l'chidetani Rav Yosef. We'll say, Rabbi Shmuel will say, no, we need that pasuk for something else. What do I need that pasuk for? Detani Rav Yosef, minayin la'obid kochavim, shepol sol eloko. We'll say, how do we know that an obid kochavim has the ability to negate the idolatrous identity of his idol? We'll say, in other words, how do I know that an obid kochavim has the ability to invalidate his idol? Where do I know that from? So the Gemara says, Shedemar psidei Eloheim tisrefun ba'ish. Because we'll say, the pasuk says, you can passel your avodah zara. You can go ahead and you can negate it. You can go ahead and undo its idolatrous identity. The idach, and where does Rabbi Kiva learn that out from? Nafkalei mid Shmuel. He learns it out ultimately again from Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? The Shmuel ramiksib. We'll say Shmuel contrasts two psukim. What does he contrast? Lo sachmod kesef v'zohav aleihem. The pasuk says, you shall not covet the gold and the silver upon them. Uksiv v'lakachta lecha. But then it says, you shall take the gold and the silver upon them. So we'll say, so which one is it? Haketzad. So we'll say, in other words, can I take the gold and the silver of avodah zara or not? And the answer is, it depends. Haketzad. Pas lo leloka, lo sachmod. So we'll say ultimately again, if it was carved out for the idol, in other words, if it was set aside for the idol, you can't use it. But paslu me eloka. But if it was carved out from the idol, then what? Then ultimately again, one is permitted to take it. So we'll say, so again, you see the ability to go ahead and negate the identity of the avodah zara. Ultimately again, at that point in time, it ceases to be an avodah zara, and one is permitted to go ahead and benefit from it.
There's a car outside, the alarm keeps going off, a silver V6 Accord coupe.
It's mine. Okay, so the Gemara says, Father, Rabbi Akiva. Thank you. Rabbi Akiva, Ashkechon Avodas Kochavim, Sha'ovid Kochavim, Da'asur Miyad. So says the Gemara, but one second, Rabbi Akiva, Ashkechon Avodas Kochavim, Sha'ovid Kochavim, Asur Miyad, the Yisrael Ashati Avim Miyad. And we'll say, where does Rabbi Akiva? So Rabbi Akiva, we've now proven, or at least he's proven from the Pasuk, that what? That the Avodah Zarah of an Ovid Kochavim becomes Asur immediately. Becomes Asur immediately. But again, I will say, the Avodah Zarah of Yisrael, ultimately, how do we know that it's only Asur once you worship it? Amar Rabbi Huda Amar Kra, Visham Visam Baseser. So I will say, the Pasuk says, literally again, Arur Ha'isha Shayasa Pesel Masecha Tuavas Hashem Masei Deicharosh, Visam Baseser. We'll say, what does Visam Baseser mean? Visam Baseser, Ad She Asela Dvarim She Baseser. That you are only, they will say that the idol is only Asur until you do those things in private. We'll say, what things in private are we referring to over here? So Rashi says, Dvarim Sheba Seser, Avodo Sheba Seser, Uvdo Shloishno Bezim Yisklo. We'll say, the assumption is, this is the godless of a Jew. The godless of a Jew is if he's going to worship Avodah Zarah. The assumption is, where is he worshiping Avodah Zarah? Right? In private. In private. So you know what I'm saying? You see, again, perhaps I'm going to do an Avera, but the one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to do an Avera publicly. At least, again, if my private image is tarnished, I'm going to try to do whatever I can to preserve my public image. See, I will say, at the end of the day, see, people think that that's hypocritical. Oh, it's such a hypocrite. I will say it's not hypocritical. I mean, it is hypocritical. But at the end of the day, it stems, I will say, from a place of kedusha, that a Jew never fully wants to lose his kedusha. A Jew never wants to fully lose his standing. A Jew deep down knows what's right and what's wrong. See, even if I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah, I'm not going to do it publicly. If I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah, I'm going to go and do it. And it goes, we see this again. We all make mistakes, but at least we try to ensure that our mistakes are not public mistakes, that our mistakes are private mistakes. Because again, deep down, we want the ability to reclaim the Kedusha that we've lost. V'idach, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with that? Ha'humi b'ayle l'chid Rabbi Yitzchak. Don't Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayin la'avodas kochavim shetu negniza. Rabbi Yitzchak says, we'll say, how do we know that the Avodah Zarah of a Jew requires geniza, has to be hidden away? In other words, that we'll say that you can't be mevatel the Avodah Zarah of a Jew. Instead, it has to be hidden. Shene emar v'sam baseser. You shall put it in a hidden place. V'idach, and Rabbi Kiva will say, nafkele mitrav chista, amarav, damarav chista amarav, minay lav olas chacham shetun agniza. How do we know that the have olas chacham of a Jew requires being hidden away? Shene emar lo sita l'cha ashera, kol eitz eitzel nizbach. So we'll say, you shall not plant an ashera, eitz by the mizbeach, ma mizbeach ta'un gniza, afashera ta'un gniza. We'll say, just like again, the mizbeach, as we'll discuss, we'll say, if it falls into non-use, the stones have to be hidden away. So to an asherah, avodah zarah, of a Jew also has to be in there. We'll say, by the way, this pasuk is actually very important. This pasuk tells you that you're not allowed to plant trees by the mizbeach. That's why, you know, we'll say, there were no trees on the Har HaBayis. And that's why, again, unfortunately, when there was a loss of Jewish control over the Har HaBayis, if you'll notice again, if you look at the pictures of Har HaBayis now, what will you see? You'll see a lot of trees. So we'll say that was not a landscaping architect called in and decided how to beautify the Har HaBayis. That was a theological shtach. I'll say that ultimately, again, was a concerted effort to undermine a Jewish claim to Har HaBayis. Historically, there were never any trees on Har HaBayis, dafka because of this. Miras Hashem, the day will come when there will be no longer trees as well. So the Gemara goes by to the Gemara says, Afa sheru tuna gniza, v'idach, homi bayle, l'chid reish lakish, v'osei the other opinion is, for reish lakish, v'osei lakish, v'osei reish lakish, v'osei listen to this. Is even some agarata today, Rav Osai. It's like about 9 words. So the Amrei Shlakish, kol ha-ma'amid dayan she'eno hagun, kilu nota she'ebi. So Rav Osai, listen to this. If you appoint an unworthy judge, it's as if you have planted an asherah. Shene emar, shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol sharecha. The pasuk tells me that I have to appoint judges and enforcers in all of my gates. V'samich lei lo sita lecha asherah kol eitz. And right after that it says, don't plant an asherah, any tree. So we'll say, so again, interest the juxtaposition over here between the appointment of judges and the planting of asherahs tells me that if halacha l'maisa, I go ahead and I appoint a bad judge, that's as if I plant an asherah. So we'll say, the metaphor is very powerful. What is the asherah? The asherah represents a negative influence right within the midst of the people. So a person goes ahead and empowers a wrong person on the judiciary, gives a person the ability to go ahead and arbitrate, gives a person the ability to not to arbitrate, to adjudicate law, then again, that's a very dangerous thing for greater society. Amar Rav Ashi says, "Ubemakom talmidei chachamim kilu nata eitzel mizbeach." And I will say, if you're living in a place where there are proper talmidei chachamim, and you still appoint the wrong judge, not only is it like planting an asherah, but what? It's like planting an asherah by the mizbeach. By Rav Hamnuna. So we'll say Rav Hamnuna asked the following kasha. We'll say we're switching gears just a moment. So now, just understand, that machlokis Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva has not yet been resolved. Right? So again, and that is a major, major machlokis. At what point in time does Avodah Zarah become Asr? So Rabbi Akiva will say the Avodah Zarah of an Akum becomes Asr immediately. The Avodah Zarah of a Jew only becomes Asr after he worships it. Rabbi Yishmael says the opposite. The Avodah Zarah of a Jew becomes Asr immediately. The Avodah Zarah of an Akum becomes Asr only after he worships it. Both say this is a major, major machlokes of incredible, overreaching, and overwhelming importance. Because they both say what this determines is, are you permitted to have Hana from things that were clearly made for idolatry, but not yet used for idolatry? So again, we're not finished with that machlokis. We're just switching gears just a moment. But Rav Hamnuna. Riseich kli la'avodas kochavim mahu. But so listen to this. What happens if a person took a utensil, and the utensil was broken, and he repaired it for the sake of idolatry? So if you take a look at Rashi, you supposed to say, you see Tosas Tiboile? See that Tosas Tiboile? If you go right across to Rashi over there, so you see Riseich kli. Kli shenishbar. But so if you go ahead and you have a utensil that broke, Vehikish alav bekornus, Ad sheriko v'nispashet v'nismali pigimasa. So we'll say the utensil broke. You took a hammer and you essentially banged it out. I know I'm not using this, probably a technical term, but you hit it until you go ahead and you repair the utensil. So we'll say, so now you've repaired a utensil for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Now, what's the shailas? What's the status of, what's, I should say differently. Riseich kli l'avodah zarah. You repaired the utensil for the sake of the Avodah Zarah. What's the status of the kli? So now, so Gemara says, well, 1 second. First question, first order of business is, Avodas Kochavim Diman. We'll say, what's the first Shaila? Who does this belong to? Who does the utensil belong to? Ilem Avodas Kochavim Dovi Kochavim. If you hold that it's the utensil of an Ovid Kochavim. So, Bein Rabbi Yishmael, Bein Rabbi Kiva, Mashem Shevodas Kochavim Hein. So we'll say, both Rabbi Yishmael, This, remember again, this utensil is a service utensil for Avodah Zarah. It is not Avodah Zarah itself. So both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel will agree that Umisham She'avodas Kochavim Ein Asurin Ad She'yavdu. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel Girab say that a service utensil only becomes Asur when it's actively used for service. Only when it's actively used for service. Ve'ela Avodas Kochavim Di Yisrael. They will say, rather, what do you see? It is the Avodas Kochavim, ultimately again, of the Yisrael. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. Aliba Deman. So we'll say, current Rabbi Akiva, the Avodah Zarah of a Jew itself, mamish, the idol itself, doesn't become Asr until when? Doesn't become Asr ultimately until it's actively worshipped. If the idol doesn't become Asr until it's worshipped, then what? Certainly the service utensils will not become Asr until they're worshipped as well. So, ve'ela alibid Rabbi Shmuel. Rather, it has to be according to Rabbi Shmuel. The Amr Asura Miyad. Rabbi Shmuel Bosei holds that the Avodah Zarah ultimately again of an Akum becomes Asr immediately. So the Gemara says, Mai, Mishamshin mi Mishamshin Gamrinon. Bosei, do we learn out Jewish service utensils? Right? From Avodah Zarah service utensils. Mahasam at Sheyavdu, Avhacha Sheyavdu. Just like over there, it's only Asr if it's used. So too over here, it's only Asr if it's used. O Dilma Minagamar. Rabbi will say, maybe we learn the halachos of the service utensils from the Pesel, from the Avodah Zarah itself. Mahi Asura Miyad. Just like the Pesel, right? Rabbi will say, just like the Avodah Zarah of the Akum is Asr immediately. Af mishamisha asur miyad. So to the service utensils will be asur immediately as well. To which the Gemara says, "Well, my iriyot dekami bayile risach kli. Why are you framing the case as one who repaired a utensil? Ultimately, again for avodah zarah. Ti bayile asa. Why don't you go ahead and frame the case as one who made a utensil for avodah zarah? Why is this a repair case? Why isn't this a making case, all right? A creation case. Rav Hamnuna, so the Gemara says, Tibay le'asa, Rav Hamnuna mishum tuma yishana kami b'alei. This is actually quite fascinating. Because what Rav Hamnuna Bosa was asking a secondary question as well. Not just about when does a service utensil of Avodah Zarah become Asr, Bosa is asking about tuma yishana, old tuma. Bosa, what does that mean? Look at this next Gemara. This is absolutely amazing. Disnan. Klima tachos, we'll say metal utensils. Forget about Avodah Zarah for just a moment now. Right? The only thing better than a discussion about Avodah Zarah is Tumantara. Right? And now you got both. You got both in one day. Tumantara and Avodah Zarah. So listen to this. The Gemara says the Gemara. Klima tachos. We'll say metal utensils, pshutein mekablein tmeira. We'll say now again, when it comes to a metal utensil, so we'll say there are two different types of utensils. Pshutein mekablein. Pshutein means a pashut kli, which means a kli without a base kibble. A utensil without a receptacle, and mekablein means a utensil with a receptacle. So with metal utensils, metallic utensils could become asur whether they have a receptacle or not. It's called a kli pashut versus a base kibble. They become tame. Nishtabru. It will say, what happens ultimately again if the utensil breaks? So now the utensil became tummy. We'll say, however it became tummy, it doesn't make a difference. Tumas shemer, ter sheret, tumas meis, whatever it is. Now the utensil breaks. We'll say, what happens when the utensil breaks? So taru. It will say, interestingly enough, so the utensil becomes tahar, which makes sense because tuma is a function of the object having an identity as a kli. Once the object loses its identity as a kli, it loses its status of tuma as well. So what happens? Now here's the chap. Chazru v'asan. Well, say, let's say, yes, I have my metal utensil. It became tame. Now it's tame. It broke. It's tahor. I put it back together. We'll say, what's the halacha? Yachzuru l'tuma yishana. It reverts back to its previous tame status. Watch, I told you this was exciting. I wasn't making this up. So it says, look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, Chazul Tumasi Yishana, if you have the Torah or Shalim in your margin there, it's right across from there. Chazul Tumasi Yishana, both listen to this. Utsricha Tevila. Now the fact that it resumes or it goes back to its original tame status tells me it has to go to the mikvah. And we'll say, now what is this about Tuma Yishana? Will be Yitzios HaShabbos. So we'll say, the Gemara Masech HaShabbos goes, it's Mefarish Taima Gzeira Shema Yomru Tevila Bas Yoma Ola. So we'll say, listen to this. under normal circumstances, if your utensil becomes tamei, so that, let's say tumas mei, so the halach is you have to immerse it, but then it requires hair of shemesh, right? It requires nightfall. Immersion in the mikvah is not enough. It requires nightfall. The concern was as follows. There is a way to instantaneously be metaherically. How can you instantaneously purify a utensil? How?
Break it.
Now, by the way, smashing it is an extreme, but there are plenty of ways that you can, quote-unquote, break a utensil. Or as we'll say, the definition of breakage is rendering it unusable for its given purpose. There are plenty of ways in which you could go ahead and break a utensil relatively easily, quote-unquote, so that it loses its identity as utensil becomes tar. So we'll say, I could affect instantaneous tar on my utensil simply by breaking it. What were Chazal concerned about? Chazal were concerned that since you could affect instantaneous tara, any utensil, through breakage, through quote-unquote breakage, that people may get confused and think that tevila in a mikvah also affects instantaneous tara, also affects instantaneous purification. Therefore, what did Chazal say? They made a gzera. The gzera they made, Rav Osai, was finishing Rashi. So the Gemara says, Gazra Shema Yomru Tvila Bas Yoma Ola. The Kami Boy, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. The Kami Boy, and the Gemara, and therefore the Gemara says, Inklishna Shtam Shavu Lavodas Kochavim. Barinim Sekha Shabbos, Berak Amrabi Akiva, Misham Shet Mein, Shavan Kade Lataron, Vechazran Verischan Lavodas Kochavim, Vandayim Mishtam Shubo, Mihadr Tuma Kamaisalos. So Rav Osai, so therefore again, out of the gzera, that one may think that tevila in a mikvah affects instantaneous tara. So therefore, again, they said that if you go out and you break a utensil and you put it back together, it resumes or it regains its previous tumah. So we'll say, what does this have to do with our conversation? This is what's happening over here. V'hachi kami bar. We'll say, here's the shayla. Ki hadra tumah. So we'll say, now let's go back for just a moment. You have a utensil that was used for avodah zarah. Okay, now we'll say, remember again, we already established that when a utensil is used for avodah zarah, it requires tumah. What kind of tumah? Is it tumas meis? Is it tumas sheret? So that's the machlokes we saw. Now we'll say, what happens? The utensil broke. Now what happens? Rischon. You put it back together. So what's the Gemara Shaila? Does it regain its avodah zarah tumah or not? So what's the Shaila? Ki hadra tumah. When we say that a broken utensil that's put back together regains its former tumah, hanimili l'tumah d'oraisa, aval tumah d'rabbanan lo. Do we say that it only regains biblical tumah, but doesn't regain rabbinic tumah? The Rabbos say, the notion that something that is used for avodah zarah is tameh, Rabbos say, is that biblical or rabbinic? And the answer is, it's dirabanan. So do we say that, again, in this case, it won't regain its tumah? Olo, dilma loshna, or perhaps we say, no, that when the Rabbanan imposed this, Rabbos say, that if the utensil was tameh, you broke it, and then you put it back together, it regains its tumah, that's both tumah d'oraisa and dirabanan. Viti barley shar tumas dirabanan. So I understand why you only ask the shayla by avodah zarah. You can ask the shayla by any tumas dirabanan. Chada migo chada kami boyle. The Gemara is asking one question on the heels of another question. Tumah dirabanan mi hadra olo. So we'll say, so shayla number one is, if you have a utensil that was tameh, and then it broke, and then it was put back together, does rabbinic tumah return or not? Meaning everyone agrees, biblical tumah returns. Does rabbinic tumah return or not? Olo hadra. Or not. Imtim saloma lo hadra. And if you say the rabbinic tumah does not return, tumah da'avodos kochavim mishum chumar da'avodos kochavim mishavi rabbanik and tumah dorai. So olo. Will we say that even if normally rabbinic tumah wouldn't return, but maybe what? Maybe tumah sa'avodah zarah will. Because even though the tumas avodah zarah is what? Is dirabanan. Because it's avodah zarah, it can be treated with the severity of a daraisa, and therefore the tumah should return, to which the Gemara answers, teku. We'll have to leave this for Eliyahu HaNavi. So the takeaways from this sugi is, first of all, number one, the way we paskin Rabosai is that everyone, both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, will agree that service utensils made for avodah zarah will only become asar after they are worshipped, after they are used in service, right? After they are used. It's very important. We saw the Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel about the idol itself. Is the idol itself usur from the time that it's created or only after it's worshipped? That's a Machlokes. When it comes to service utensils, everyone will agree. Everyone will agree that it only becomes usur after what? After it is used. So for argument's sake, according to that approach, if you were to go to the avodah zarah surplus store and the manufacturer, made some extra whatever, right? Avodah Zarah tables, right? But they were never used. They were never used. They're there for the service of it, but they were never used. Technically speaking, one would be permitted to purchase it and use it. That's halacha l'maisa. Whether or not it's appropriate is a different discussion, but on a technical level, one could do it. Both say, number two takeaway, is it halacha l'maisa we paskin that when a utensil has tumah and it breaks, the breakage causes it to lose the tumah. If you put it back together, there's a gzirah d'rabbanan that tumah returns. That halacha only applies to Tumah D'Oraisa. Tumah D'Rabbanan does not return. The Teiku is what? What do we do with the Tumah of Avodah Zarah? Right? Even though that is a rabbinic Tumah, do we treat it like a D'Oraisa or not? That's the Teiku. Says the Gemara. Listen to this. What happens? What about an offering to an idol, an offering to Avodah Zarah, of food? What is the status ultimately again? What is the status? If one is mevatel that food, so to speak, so does the tumah of avodah zarah, is it removed from it or not? Does bittel have the ability to remove its tumah or not? I don't understand why asking about food. Why don't you ask about utensils that were used in the service ultimately again of the avodah zarah or offered up to the avodah zarah? So to which the gemara says, "Kelim lo kami barile, kevan dislu tara b'mikva tumah nami batla." When it comes to utensils, we'll say utensils are obvious. If a utensil is being used as an offering to avodah zarah, since the utensil can be purged in the mikvah, so certainly again, if you're mevatel it, so the tumas avodah zarah goes away. The shaila is with food. Ki kami barile ochlin. Well, the shaila is if a person offered up food to avodah zarah as an offering, can he be mevatel that offering, thereby removing the tumah from that offering? So I'll say, why don't you ask about an avodah zarah? So I'll say, Rashi points out, shal ochlin. What happens if you worshipped food? If you worshipped food, for example, hamishtachav alapas, a person bows down to a loaf of bread. So I'll say, can a person go ahead and negate the mevatel that avodah zarah, thereby removing the tumah, and of course, in addition, making it permitted for consumption, to which the Gemara says, so that's not a kasha. Why not? That's obvious. We've already established that a person, or at least an akum, can be mevatel his avodah zarah. So we'll say, now that we've established that he can be mevatel the avodah zarah, then what? He can mevatel the avodah zarah, then of course, you could be mevatel the associated tumah of the avodah zarah. In other words, the tumah is a function, Rabbosai, of the idea that this object is an avodah zarah object. But lemaiso, if you could be mevatel the idolatrous identity, you could of course be mevatel the tumah as well. Kig mekami by this, we'll say, what's the shayla? Takrovas avodas kham shal ochlin mai. We'll say, the shayla is, what about an offering to avodah zarah? Person offered up food to avodah zarah. So what's the status of that? Kevan di isure lo batil. So we'll say, do we say that what? Since the isser of takrovas, the isser of an offering is never batil. Kid Rav Gidl. Well, remember again, we saw the shita of Rav Gidl just a few days ago. Rav Gidl has an interesting shita where he holds that takroves eino batal. He holds, Rav say that as much as an akum can negate an idol, you can't negate the offerings. Once the offerings are offered, that's it. They are forever aser. So do we say then, and there's obviously only through the lens of Rav Gidl, that just like Rav Gidl holds, that ultimately, again, the takrovis, the idolatrous identity, or I should say, the idolatrous offering identity cannot be negated, therefore, tumah nami no batla, therefore the tumah could also not be negated. O dilma, iser d'oraisa lo batil, tumah d'rabbanan batil. Or Rabbi say, do we say the iser d'oraisa, which is the act of offering something to an idol, that can't be batil, but the tumah which is d'rabbanan can be batil, to which the Gemara says, teku. Vayim Rav Yosi ben Shom Mirabi. Kalim Shashim Shuban Babe Schanyo. Mahur, both say, this is amazing. This is amazing. So we'll say, what about the utensils used in the shul, right? In the shtibel of Chanyo. We'll say, what's the shul of Chanyo? We'll say, watch this. First, last white line in Rashi on the tab, Babe Schanyo. Mefarish Bishmaitin Basraisa de Menachos. Chanyo Beno Shal Shimon HaTzadik. We'll say, listen to this. Chanyo was the son of Shimon HaTzadik, right? You know Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, Chayyim, Mishiyari, Anshei Beis HaKnesset HaGedolah, right? Shimon HaTzadik was one of the last remaining, Pirkei Avos, one of the last remaining members of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So you can go to the grave of Shimon HaTzadik, right? He's, I don't know that you should go there alone without armed escort. It's right in East Yerushalayim. We'll say as you're driving, let's say, from the old city to Ramat Eshkol. So I'll say, so again, the grave of Shimon Tzadik is mamish right off, right, not far from the border police station. You know, right on the right. So I don't know that you should go there, but again, it's right there. So mamish, you go to the grave of Shimon Tzadik. So we'll say Shimon Tzadik had a son. Bless you, had a son, Chanyo. Shebarach leMitzrayim. He ran away to Egypt. Why did he run away to Egypt? Mipnei Echov. So we'll say, listen to this. Shimon HaTzadik had two sons. He appointed his older son. Well, first he appointed Chanyo to be the Kohen Gadol. Chanyo deferred to his older brother. Then we'll say, ultimately, again, he was upset that he passed up on the opportunity for greatness. So what did he do? He ran away to Egypt. What did he do in Egypt? Ubana Sham Mizbeach. He built an altar. And we'll say, he didn't just build an altar. Chanyo built a Beis HaMikdash in Egypt. He effectively built a base, a replica of the, much smaller, but a replica of the Beis HaMikdash in Egypt, and he became the Kohen Gadol there. So we'll say, see, here's what's fascinating. Upligi Hasam, Ikalamad Roshem Valitzkov, Ikalamad Roshem Shemayim. So we'll say, listen to this. So there's an interesting discussion. It's not Pashat that it was Avodah Zarah. Meaning, there's a Machlokes, as we're going to in just a moment, was it Avodah Zarah, or was he worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we'll say, see, here's the Shaila. Utensils used in the shul, in the Beis HaMikdash of Chanyo, which was built in Egypt, Mao sheyishtamesh pohen beBeis HaMikdash. We'll say, listen to this. Can I take those utensils and use them in the Beis HaMikdash proper? V'kami bayle. So we'll say, what's the shayla? Halibu demand amar beis Chanyo la beis avodas kochavim hi. So we'll say, so remember again, this obviously is only a kasha, according to the opinion who holds that the shul of Chanyo, the Beis HaMikdash of Chanyo, was not a Beis Avodah Zarah. This nan, Kohanim Sheshim Shu Beis Chanyo, Lo Yisham Shu B'Mikdash Yerushalayim. Both say, because we have a Mishnah that says, the Kohanim who served, and by the way, Chanyo recruited quite an all-star team, right? I mean, he was offering, really, how did he recruit an all-star team, right? He offered money, right? So he got Kohanim. He did get Kohanim to come and to join him. So I'll say, what's the Shaila? The Shaila over here is, what happens if I'm a Kohen? Kohen served in the shul of Chanyo, and now he wants to come back to the Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim. Can we accept him back? So Kohanim Sheshim Shul Beis Chanyo, Lo Yisham Shul B'Mikdash Yerushalayim. No. Once a Kohen served in the house of worship of Chanyo, we do not allow him to serve in the Beis HaMikdash again. Ve'eino tzarech lomar ledavar acher. So we'll say, and all the more so, if a Kohen served Avodah Zarah, of course we don't let him back into the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here, by the way, that Kohanim who served in Beis Chanyo are treated differently than the Kohanim who served Avodah Zarah. So I'll say, see that there is an opinion who holds that Beis Chanyo was not Avodah Zarah. It's a machlokes. So according to the opinion who holds that Chanyo wasn't worshipping idolatry, can utensils which were used in the house of worship of Chanyo, can they be used in the Beis HaMikdash? Now we know Kohanim who served in Beis Chanyo cannot go back and serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So do we say, the Gemara says, Kohanim who dekansir avanim shun debnei deyaninu. So we'll say, I understand, the rabbis knast the Kohanim, because the Kohanim made a choice to go serve in a foreign place, so therefore they can't come back to the Beis HaMikdash. Aval kelim lo. But I will say, when it comes to utensils, so even though Kohanim can't come back and serve in the Beis HaMikdash, maybe that's just a kenas on people, on Kohanim, but kelim which were used, perhaps the kelim could be used in the Beis HaMikdash proper, odimoloshna. Or do we say no? The same way that Kohanim can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash after serving in Beis Chanyo, so kelim cannot be used either. Amar le asurim. Asurinim. So we said no, the utensils ultimately again are asur. Umikra biadenu. And I have a pasuk to support this. B'shachachnu. But I will say, what happens? So he says, but I forgot the pasuk. I forgot the pasuk. So I will say again, remember, this is Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul asking from Rabbi. So Rabbi says, I know that if utensils were used in the Beis HaMikdash of Chanyo, they cannot be used again in the Beis HaMikdash, and the same way Kohanim, who served in the Beis HaMikdash of Chanyo, cannot come back and serve the Beis HaMikdash. I know that there's a pasuk that supports this, but I can't for the life of me remember the pasuk. So he raised the kasha. We'll say, by the way, yeah, well, we'll discuss, the story's not over. Eisei, kol hakelim asher yizniach hamelech achaz b'malchuso b'malo, Heichano v'kdasha. So let's listen to this. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Divrei Hayomim and says, all of the utensils used by King Achaz, right, during his monarchy, Heichano v'kdashno. We'll say literally were prepared and were sanctified. Now we'll say King Achaz was an Oved Avodah Zarah. Right, remember again, Achaz is the father of Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo was a great tzaddik who literally rededicated the people to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he had to undo the incredible and unspeakable damage of his father. So all the utensils that were used by Achaz, Hechanu v'ikdashnu, my love, Hechanu, dat belinu, hikdashnu, da'akdashinu, does it not mean that Hechanu Rabosei means they immersed it in the mikvah? Hikdashanu means they re-anointed it with Shemen HaMishcha. So we'll say at this point in time, so Rebbe says, Amar Lei Baruch Atol HaShamayim, blessed are you. Right, blessed is, remember, this is Rebbe speaking to Rabbi Yossi Ben Shol. Blessed are you, Shechzarti Li Avedasi, you gave me back my lost touch. Remember again, Rebbe said, I know that I have a pasuk to support this. I can't remember the pasuk. Rebbe Yossi Ben Shol asked the kasha from this pasuk. Now, as we're going to see, he interpreted it wrongly. But Rebbe says, thank you so much for reminding me of the pasuk that I've forgotten, because this is the pasuk. Heichanu, what does it mean that they prepared them? Right? Sheganzum. They hid them away. Vikdashnu, shikdashnu achirim tachteyem. That they commissioned the utensils. Bosai, that you see from here, the utensils used by Achaz for Avodah Zarah, Bosai, were not reused. They were hidden away. Gniza. So what did they do when Chizkiyo came to power? They got totally new utensils. So Rebbe was using this as a riot to say that essentially utensils are both used in anything other than Beis HaMikdash service. Simply what? Cannot be reused in the Beis HaMikdash. So too, even utensils used in Beis Chonyo cannot be used in the Beis HaMikdash again. So the Gemara says, Meseyele, Rebbe says, this is actually a fascinating discussion. Mizrachis Tzifonis. Abosai, in the northeast corner of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a chamber. What was put in that chamber? Gonzu bei Beis Chashmonois Avnei HaMizbeach Sheshaktsu Anshi Yavon. Abosai, the Chashmonoim, Abosai, is actually amazing. When the Chashmonoim came back, this is after the miracle of Chana, Abosai, this is amazing. When they came back to the Beis HaMikdash, so everybody focuses again on the menorah, but they came back and they found the Mizbeach was there. The outer altar was there. The problem is they saw that it was used by the Yavanim for idolatrous sacrifice. So what did they do? This is amazing. They broke apart the Mizbeach. They broke apart the Mizbeach, and they went ahead and they hid the stones, meaning Gniza. They put the stones in a chamber, in a northeast chamber, and this is called Lishka Sa'ish, in the fire chamber. They put it there, they put it in the northeast chamber, and they hid away the stones there. What happens? Because the Greeks had used this Mizbeach, had used our Mizbeach, for the service of the Avodah Zarah. Amar Papa, Hasam Kra Ashkach Vadarish. The Chashman, so we said, the Chashman found the Pasek and Medarish and the Chsiv, Uba Pritzim, the Chilaluha, that the Pritzim, it was say literally, the old Avodah Zarah came in, and literally they profaned it. They profaned it. So Amar Hechi Navi. So the Chashman said, what should we do with the Mizbeach? Nisperinu. So I'll say, if we say, we'll just break it apart and put it back together, that's not going to work. Why? Because Avanim Shlemos Amrachmano. Torah says the Mizbeach has to be made of what? Whole stones. Ninasrinu, so if we just chisel down the stones, that doesn't work. Why? Lo Sanif Aleim Barzel Amrachmano. The Torah says you have to use stones, but you can't use iron in the creation of those stones. The Amai, Lit Barinu V'lishkalunu L'nafshayu. So I'll say, why not just go ahead and break the stones? And I will say, essentially, once the Gentiles used it, they profaned it. Once they profaned it, then what, Rabosai? It has no Kedusha. Once it has no Kedusha, then what? Let the Chashmonaim break apart the stones and use it to build their houses or something. Meaning, use it for whatever you want. Milo Amravoshia, Bikshu Lignos, Kol Kesev Vezav Sheva Ola, Mishum Kasmo Devedava, She Yerushalayim. I both say this is amazing. That at one point in time, they wanted to go ahead and say that Jews can't use any gold and silver. Why? Because of the gold and silver that was taken from the treasuries of Yerushalayim. Va'avinan ba. So both say there was a concern that if a Jew were to go ahead and use gold and silver, they might be inadvertently using the gold and silver ultimately of of the Beis HaMikdash, of Hegdish. We'll say this is after the temple treasury was raided. So the Gemara says, Yerushalayim have Yerub da'alma. He's Yerushalayim, the majority of the world that you have to be concerned. The gold and silver you're going to find is going to be from Yerushalayim. Elo Amar Abaye, Bikshu Lignos Dinara Hadriana, Toraino Shifa. They wanted to go ahead about saying what? They wanted to say that Jews can't use certain Hadrianic coins. Because they're mostly during the times of the Emperor Hadrian or the Turaina Shifa. These are specific kinds of coins that they knew were minted from the gold and silver of Yerushalayim. Mipnei Tiva She Yerushalayim. Ad Shematzel Lo Mikra Min HaTorah. Until they found the Pasuk of Moshe that's seemingly permitted. What's the Pasuk? Shumutar. Uba'u Ba'prisim V'chalulua. We'll say, what's the Pasuk? The Pasuk is that when the Pritzim, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, come in and use our stuff, by definition, they go in and they remove the Kedusha from it. So if they took the gold and silver from the temple treasury, they profaned that gold and silver. It was no longer Kadosh. Same idea over here. When the Greeks came in, Rabbi Yosef, and used our Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash for idolatrous service, what did they do to it? The Chilua, they profaned it. Meaning it no longer has Kedusha. If that's the case again, Rabbi Yosef, the Chashanam come in, break apart the stones, hide it away. Not when I say hide it, I mean put it away in the chamber of the Beis HaMikdash. But if the Yevanim used it ultimately again for Avodah Zarah, then what? It should become profane. If it's profane, then what? Then what? You can use it for whatever you want. Just like the gold and silver. In this case over here, even on a technical level, once the Mizbeach was used for idolatry, technically speaking, the Kedusha evaporates. Once the Kedusha evaporates, you can even use it for what? You can even use it for regular mundane items. The Gemara says it's inappropriate. Why is it inappropriate? Since halacha lemaisa, it was used for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu once, it would be inappropriate ultimately to use it for mundane service afterwards. Therefore, in the Chashmonaim, come back. When the Chashmonaim come back, they break apart the Mizbeach, they put away the stones in one of the chambers for Geniza. But I will say, to answer the original question was utensils used in Beis Chonyo. Can you use them in the Beis HaMikdash? And now it turns out that Rebbe remembers not only the answer, but the Pasuk where he gleaned the answer from. The answer to that is no. Once utensils ultimately again were used in Beis Chonyo, they would not be permitted to be used in the Beis HaMikdash itself. We'll pick up in Eretz Hashem with the Mishnah. Thank you.